Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, come, let this be my story. Heaven, come, there will soon I'll be gone. Heaven, come, to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Clear for Takeoff here at Holy Spirit Radio. And we are here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air. And this is a very special week, my friends. Before we get into our Sunday readings, I just want to thank all those donors who called in and made a pledge this week for our Radiothon. And it's a special thing, my friends, to be here on the air while the Radiothon is ongoing. And we pray that this station will be sustained by you, our listening audience, once again, and that God will bless us for another 22 years here on the air to be a voice for the unborn, a voice for goodness, and to be a platform for the message of the gospel, our real mission, my friends, for many, many years since we began in 1999 on St. Joseph's Day, March 19th. And so if you haven't made a pledge or a donation, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And make that pledge from the heart. Again, thank you to all those listeners out there who have made a pledge this week. We really appreciate all that you do for us, and may God bless you and your families. Okay, we're going to get into our Sunday readings for this weekend, the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our first reading is coming from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, verse 12 and verses 17 through 20. And here it is. Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for our transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And this is a powerful reading today, my friends, from the Book of Wisdom. And in the word of God here today, it says, let us beset the just one, which means to let us threaten him or give him trouble persistently, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings. And so the just one is the person who stands up for morals, values, ethics, biblical principles. He's honest. He's impartial. And he basically is doing it all for the right reasons, standing up for God. And this is important. The just one, and as it says in the word, God will defend him. So as we go forth in daily life and try to be just, to give our best action, put our best foot forward, God will bless us because we are doing it for the gospel. We are doing it for him. We are standing up for what's right in a world that is so troubled and challenged and is really, you know, working towards an agenda that doesn't include God. So we have to continue our work as just people and try our best. And there will be people who are opposed to us, people who believe that we are obnoxious and that we are not with them, but we are against them. But we are walking with the Lord. We are standing up strong for what the Lord's, you know, been given to us. What he has given to us is so important. And he calls us to stand up strong. He calls us to really be a great voice for goodness. And in the Word today, it talks about the just one will be defended by God. And also God will deliver him from the hand of his foes. And so have confidence. Do not be afraid as we go forth in challenging times. And know that you're in good company with our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's powerful. And so, with revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test. So we will be tested by people with revilement, which is a rude expression intended to offend or hurt. So we will be insulted. And we'll be offended. People will try to hurt our feelings, both in word and action. And there's all kinds of injuries that could be sustained here. But the Word is preparing us for those difficult times. And like the Lord, we too will be in that vulnerable position. But we are called to do it for the Lord himself. We are called to do it for Christianity, for the message of the gospel. We are called to do it to try to help build up God's kingdom here on earth. So we will be put to the test, and they will try to prove us to be gentle, and they will try our patience. Have you ever been in a position where you were being tested? And we're tested each and every day. You know, are we good Christians? Or are we coming up short? Where do we stand on that faith journey, my friends? And the test will come in different ways. Sometimes it comes in your most vulnerable area and your greatest weakness. And other times in daily life, there will be people who will test you intentionally. And there will be people who test you in your own family, your own friends, to see if you are truly, you know, who you say you are in God's eyes. And God will bless us. He will defend us. He will basically deliver us from the hand of our enemies, our foes. And so we will continue to be tested, but know this again, and God says it clearly, God will take care of him. In the Word of God, it says, for in his own words, God will take care of him. And we want to remember that. God is always with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? I want to share with you a brief poem called Footprints, which is on the back of a prayer card of a good friend of mine, Eric, who passed away on June 10th, 2021. And Eric passed away due to brain cancer. And here's what it says. Again, it's all about footprints. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And this is important today, my friends, because it's aligned with our reading from the Book of Wisdom, which says that, you know, God will take care of us. And in the poem, the Lord carries this man, and it's the Lord's footprints only that are seen in the sand. Because very often in our lives, we get to a point where we can go no further. But it will be the Lord Jesus Christ himself who carries us through. It will be his Father and the Holy Spirit who carry us through to another day, to strengthen us, to help us to endure in the challenges we have to overcome, the obstacles we endure. And this is powerful, but it's a confirmation, once again, that God will always take care of us. He will defend us. He will deliver us from the hand of our enemies. And we need to continue to strive to be just in the eyes of God. Very important, my friends. But we will be tested. But know this, do not be afraid, because God, once again, is always with us, even to the end of time. Let's move to our second reading now, which is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 16, and chapter 4, verses 3. And here it is. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive, because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the word of God from the book of St. James today, James starts out by telling us where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. And you know, my friends, jealousy, you know, is truly, you know, an obstacle to peace. When you have jealousy on your mind, there is no peace. And God wants us to have peace. He truly wants us to strive for peace. And when we have peace within our own hearts, we can bring that peace to other people. And so if you're not bringing peace to other people, what are you bringing to the table? If you go on a visit to your parents' home, your children's home. If you go on a retreat, what are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing peace, or are you bringing fear or anxiety? People who struggle with jealousy, my friends, have no peace. They're always worried. They're insecure. And this is something we need to put to rest through faith. And it's important. But the Lord tells us in the book of James that there is disorder and every foul practice when we have jealousy or selfish ambition. So when we do anything, we want to do it for God. Not for me, not for you, but for God. We want to give him all the glory, honor, and praise. That should be the objective. And God will bless the event, the task at hand. God will bless it. Where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God can bless. But we want order instead of disorder. And this is where we need to make some changes. The reading goes on to talk about wisdom from above is all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits without inconstancy and insincerity. So wisdom, which is gained through life, through experience, through all kinds of situations, we gain wisdom. But wisdom from above is pure. It has no negative connotation. There are no second agendas. There's no negativity within those words of wisdom. It's all pure, like the Lord. Completely pure. And the book of Psalms says that the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So we've got to get that straight, that the fear of the Lord, the respect, the reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ is the first step to wisdom. And wisdom from above is all pure. And then it's peaceable. We bring peace, gentleness. We are compliant. We comply with what the Lord asks us to do based on our experiences in life. We have all gone astray at one point or another for a moment in time. A half a day, an hour, minutes. We've gone astray in thought, word, or action. We've made mistakes. But again, we want to gain wisdom. And we want it to be pure. We want to be compliant with what God asks us to do each day. Wisdom from above is full of mercy. Mercy. That's great compassion. And the Lord has mercy on people who are faithful. The gospel readings are filled with miracles of God's mercy on people, helping them to see again, to hear again, to walk again, helping them to move forward with great peace instead of turmoil and disorder in their lives. God is the peacemaker, the ultimate deliverer of peace. In the upper room, after the Lord rose from the dead and greeted the apostles, he said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be upon you." He said it multiple times because it's so important to bring the peace. And that's something that we should strive to do, my friends. You and I can do it. But first, we have to have peace within our own hearts. We have to eliminate those things that are dispeaceful, like jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. All of those things bring disorder and a disunity. They breed separation. They keep people apart. Bad feelings are the product of these. Our job is to reverse that. And once again, to learn from the past, to gain wisdom, and to bring the peace, the gentleness, to be compliant, to offer mercy to our friends and family, to offer apologies, forgiveness, to bring the peace. We want to be peacemakers. And God wants us to do it. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. So I pose the question to you, my friends, do you cultivate peace? Do you help to develop a peaceful approach to different problems? Do you offer peaceful solutions? God calls us to do it. Again, the fruit, the product of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. We want to be that person who cultivates peace in our own families, first in our own hearts, to rectify bad relationships, to bring peaceful solutions to those places who are in desperate need of it. Very important. It could be on a small scale or a large scale, worldwide. We need peace throughout the world. We need peace within our nation, within our community, within cities in the United States. We need peace. But first, we have to have peace within our own heart. Our Blessed Mother says many times at apparition sites, pray for peace. For when you have that peace within your heart, you can share that peace with other people. And the word goes on to talk about, where do the wars and conflicts among you come from? The wars, the arguments, the incredible challenges that people have living together. You know, many years ago, I worked with a man in prison who was in his father's house before he went to prison, and he and his brother got into an argument, which led to his brother stabbing him. And he left the house, came back with a gun, and he killed his brother. And so, where did these wars and conflicts come from? And the word offers this, that it comes from our passions. Once again, through the book of James, our passions, our desires, the things we want the most to have in our lives, sometimes get in the way of a peaceful relationship between two brothers, between a father and a son, a mother and daughter. There will be division sometimes because of our passions, the things we want, the material things, money, power, prestige, men, women, all kinds of things, cars, homes, you name it. It can come between two people. And so this is important that we put things in perspective, because God wants us to bring peace and not war or conflicts between family members in a home. And the Lord talks about that we ask but do not receive because we ask wrongly, because we want to spend it on our passions. So once again, we've got to be clear and align with the Lord, because he's calling us to a different way. He's calling us to be more humble, more focused on our eternal life versus the materialism in the life that we have right here, which sometimes gets in the way of relationships, that I and me versus us and we mentality. Let's go to our gospel reading now, my friends, from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. And here it is. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, the Lord is talking about his life, death, and resurrection, the most powerful event that ever took place in the history of the world. So powerful an event that world time is set by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's powerful. And he says, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. Very often we want to be first, but the Lord's telling us that we must be last and a servant. And the Lord came to serve, so we're in good company. Okay, we've got to have more humility to serve others. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me, the Lord says. And we need to consider that each and every day. But he does tell us that we need to be the last of all. Instead of jumping in front of the line, sitting up front, let's hold the door open and allow others to come in before us. It takes a lot of humility to give up our first place in line, give us a front seat, or our first place in line. Once again, humility is what God calls us to be a servant, to serve others in whatever way you are best suited. And he says, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Children, my friends, are the future of the world, and God wants the children to come. He calls the children to come, but he wants us to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to believe in Jesus. And he says, whoever has a child in my name receives me, but not only me, but the one who sent me. So when you have a child in the Lord's name, you are blessed, because you're receiving the love of God through the Holy Spirit. Through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are receiving the love of God. You're the recipient of the love of God. And that's why the bond between a mother and a child is a lifetime. And it's powerful. My friends, that's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and our new program, Clear for Takeoff. May God bless you with a beautiful day. Have a great week, and God bless. Take care.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.